My heart was encouraged. I looked out today and saw some that have been here for several weeks now. Sister Paula's son-in-law, and of course, Deborah's parents, so excited to see them again, and others that have joined us. Just good to see you in the house of the Lord worshiping with us. Amen. As we center upon Christ. I mentioned, I can't remember, the weeks start to blend together, but talked about an illustration about Dr. Pepper, and someone gave me a bottle of Dr. Pepper, and illustration about a Three Musketeers, and somebody gave me a Three Musketeers bar, and an illustration about a steak dinner, and I got gift certificates for a steak dinner, and then I mentioned something about new car. Guess what? Awesome. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, knowing God through his names? I'm going to read two verses of our text this morning. And as I'm reading this text, I want you to ask everybody across the building, ask yourself the question, could this apply to America, our United States? Just ask yourself the question. Could this apply to America? Let me read. Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 8. Voice of God. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish my anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and I will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. Now I want to warn you, this is the name of God that hardly ever gets covered. Because this is a God that people no longer talk about, think about, believe in. The Lord that smiteth. This is the name Jehovah Makeh. Jehovah Makeh. I am the Lord that smiteth. Jehovah Makeh. I would venture to say you've heard of many of these other names of God, but this is probably one you have never heard of. But it's just as much revealed by God as all the other names. Jehovah Makeh. Father, I pray this morning for the anointing, Lord, that would bring glory and praise to you. Lord, may we feel your presence in this place. May we feel the stirrings of revival in our heart. May we feel the turning of our affections, the turning of our thoughts, the turning of our hearts wholly to you, God. Your mighty Creator, God, holy and righteous and pure. God, you want to move in our midst and give a witness and a testimony of your power and grace. Lord, do so today in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. What we know about God does not come from man's literature, man's philosophy, man's thoughts. Did you know all that can be known of God, he has revealed it to us. And yet all that God has revealed to us, many never bother to know. All we know, he's been revealed. He's revealed it to us. But all that he's revealed, many never bother to know. There are so many who know so little about God by their own choice. And by the way, I know I have to hurry. It's a Sunday morning, but I can't resist in telling you those who know the least about God pontificate and act like they're experts on him by the remarks they make against him. Isn't that true? Amen. The more, I know this is going to sound really, really profound, but I'm going to say it anyway. The more we know about God, the more we know about God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, God is so very vague to people today because they know so little about him. I want to give you just a rough illustration that just kept coming to me, and I hope it will speak to your heart. If not, I'll not use it again. But did you know to so many people, God is nothing but a one-dimensional stick figure? I know God is a spirit. I'm not suggesting that we think of him in terms of a body, but as far as their idea of God, their concept of God, this is all God is to them right there. That's what would cause somebody that wins the Super Bowl to say, well, I'm giving thanks to the man upstairs. Such a surface, such a one-dimensional view of God. Well, others will say, well, God's a first cause, or God's a force, or God's an idea. Stick figure idea of God. To others, they go a little further. God's more two-dimensional to them. He's like clip art. Just clip art. There are those that will tell you every time you talk about God, well, God's a God of love. And by the way, he is a God of love. But that's the only thing they talk about. God is love. God is love. God is love. He's grandfatherly. He tolerates. He overlooks. He accepts everything. That is such a two-dimensional view of God, just a clip art idea of God. But I want you to know, when you look in Scripture and take everything Scripture tells us about God, it's more three-dimensional. It's more three-dimensional. You say, what do you talk about? God is love. You add to that, God is holy. Amen. God saves. You add to that, God judges. God rewards. You add to that, God punishes. God is gracious. You add to that, God is wrathful. And suddenly you don't have a flat stick figure or a clip art concept of God. You have a three-dimensional view of God. And I wrote it in the bulletin. I won't preach it now. But the ultimate three-dimension representation of God is Jesus Christ as he walked this earth as a man and manifested the Father to our hearts. Amen. We like those other names of God. We like Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We like Jehovah Rapha. The Lord will heal. We like Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our banner. He'll fight our battles. We like Jehovah Shalom. God is a God of peace. We like Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the God of hosts. He is our commander. We like Jehovah Rohi. He is the Lord our shepherd. We like Jehovah Sitkanu. He is the Lord our righteousness. But what about this name, Jehovah Makeh? The Lord will strike. The Lord will smite. What about this name that reveals that God is a God who judges? Not so much. Not so much. We don't really like that name. Amen. Jehovah Makeh, the Lord, he smites. Amen. But I want you to know, as certainly as he has revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide, and he is just as much Jehovah Makeh, the God who smites. Oh, I want to know him in all that he is and have that concept to guide and lead me in my life and living and prepare me for eternity. Let's look at the setting of the name, and I'll give it to you very brief. But God called Israel, made them his special people, not just to bless them, but that they might be a witness to the pagan nations round about them. He made them a holy people. He showed his glory to them, even that they might be a light and a beacon to those without God around about them. Amen. Those nations round about Israel were wicked. Very wicked, sacrificing children, amen, murdering them upon altars, all types of perversion and degradation. But instead of being a light, Israel began to adapt and adopt and take on the characteristics of the nations and the peoples around her. Amen. Is anything ringing a bell? Amen. I believe that America was to be a light to the world, a light to the other nations. But instead of being a light, America has adopted and adapted, amen, every wicked cultural thing, every wicked fashion and philosophy, amen, of the world, other nations of the world round about them. Amen. Because of that, God tried to call Israel back. He sent prophet after prophet to warn them, to preach his word to them, to call them back to God. Amen. Not only that, he continued continue to shower them with blessings and good things. I think of another prophet. He said, Israel, you've turned from me, but what more could I have done for you than I've done? I've done everything I can to keep you in my love and keep you in my grace and keep you in my presence, but you insisted in living lives of debauchery. The nations round about you killed their kids in sacrifice. Now you're killing your kids. The nations round about you had idols. You've taken their idols and you put them in your own houses. The nations round about you were wicked in debauchery and immorality. And now, Israel, you are degraded in immorality. Therefore, Ezekiel begins to preach and he says, I want you to know, Israel, God's done everything he can to bring you back. He's done everything he can to turn you back. He's done everything he can to bring you back into his grace, but you would not. Therefore, Israel, you must know that God is going to judge you severely. You're going to be conquered. Your cities are going to be destroyed. Your capital is going to be occupied. Your temple is going to be razed to the ground, and your people are going to be taken into captivity. Amen. I tried to be Jehovah Jireh to you, the God that provides, but you didn't want me to be Jehovah Jireh. Therefore, Israel, you are going to discover that I am Jehovah Makkah, the God that smites in judgment, the God whose fist comes down. Amen. I want you to know it has not changed. Even today, regardless of what is taught and preached, if a person, hear me across the building, here's the message in a nutshell. If a person or a nation will not accept God as Jehovah Jireh, provider, accept God as Jehovah Rohi, shepherd, if they will not accept God of grace, then they will know God as Jehovah Makkah, the God that smites. Hallelujah. Let me tell you again, it's so important. If people will not accept God as the God of mercy, who's provided a sacrifice for their sin, then they will know him as Jehovah Makkah, the God that smites. I'm preaching the God that nobody wants to know about, but he's just as much Jehovah Makkah as he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. That's the setting. What's the significance of the name? I've already revealed it in the preaching, but Makkah means to smite. That's an old word. Strike, maybe it's the word for today. When I hear the word Makkah, I think of a hammer coming down. Wham! Especially a sledgehammer. Wham! I think of a fist coming down. Makkah, a smiting, a coming down. So Jehovah Makkah is the Lord who will smite, the Lord who will strike. Amen. If you've lived with even a half consciousness, you know that in life there can be hard blows. In life there can be low blows, unexpected blows. But have you ever wondered, could any of these blows be the hand of God? I want to talk seriously with you. Some of you are pretty young. You don't remember. Most of you do. But do you remember on 9/11 when the towers came down? Immediately after, I heard many people say, America's going to have a great revival. Many expected America to have a great nation-changing revival. I didn't want to be a naysayer. I didn't want to be lacking in faith. But something happened right after 9/11 that I shook my head and said, no, there's not going to be a great revival. What was it? Here's what it was. Immediately after those towers came down, if anybody suggested that that was the judgment of God, there was an anger turned against them that was greater than the anger against the terrorists. that anyone would have the audacity to suggest that that was the judgment of God. I said to myself right then, there will be no revival. Whether it was the judgment of God or not is not my point. My point was that our nation, the United States of America, had come to such a place of misunderstanding and rejecting the nature of God as revealed in Scripture, that even to suggest that God might judge a nation brought anger against that one. And I could name names that the media castigated because they had the gall to suggest. And again, whether 9/11 was the direct judgment of God or not is not the point. The point is that anyone would suggest that God would judge us. Anger was turned against them. What they needed to know is His name is Jehovah Makkah. I am the Lord that smites. Amen. God is a God of love, they said, who would never do that. They've never read the book. They've never really read the book. Thank God He is a God of love, but He is the God that smites. We now have a generation, several in fact, the millennials, current generation, generation before them, even the generation after the baby boomers, X and all the way back to our generation. They have been taught that there are no real consequences. There's no real consequences to suffer for making bad choices. There's no discipline in the home, no correction in the schools, no swift punishment in the courts. And all of that has taught a couple or three generations that there's also no eternal consequences of wrongdoing and sin and wickedness. That there is a God and that He will one day judge every person used to be a part of the fabric of an American's worldview. That there was, yes, a heaven, but also a hell that was a part of the fabric of our worldview. Whether we were in Congress or farming out a piece of land, we believed that. We knew that to be true. But the wicked of our time have succeeded of erasing from people's concept and minds and hearts any idea of a God who judges. I want to tell you something. We're seeking God for revival. We want to see God move not only in our family and our church. We'd love to see a revival for our land. Now, I'm going to preface this. Shouldn't have to. But I am so thankful for a God who is a God of love and a God of mercy. But I'm going to tell you something. Write it down. There'll never be a revival among a people whose only concept of God is a God of love. There'll never be a revolutionary revival that changes home and nation and country amongst a people whose only concept of God is that He's a God of love. An individual will never, ever experience true personal revival if their only concept of God is that He is a God of love. It's only when you also consider He is Jehovah Makkah. He is the Lord that smites. He is the Lord who hates sin. He is the Lord who detests evil. He is the Lord who has pure eyes than to even look upon Him. When you understand that, there's going to be a revival. Because there's going to be something in the heart that says, woe is me because I'm undone. And I'm a man of unclean lips. I heard someone, I don't know who it was, say something tremendous this week. It says we're living in a time that everyone in the church world wants to look at God and say, wow, wow. But every time in Scripture, when they really saw God, they didn't say, wow. They said, woe is me. I'll tell you, when you see God like that, you begin to repent. You begin to cry out and say, God, I fall short. God, I need help. And it's then something wonderful happens. Then you see that this God who smites is also a God of love and mercy, who wants to change and to forgive and to revive and to make new and to renew. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God of love alone will never send a revival America needs. But if we would embrace God once again as Jehovah Makkah, the God who smites and judges, I believe we'd see revival as we called out to God in repentance. Show me in the Bible or in history if there's ever been a revival without people calling out to God for repentance. There hasn't been. You'll never call out to God for repentance if you only view Him as this flat figure of a God of love. But when you understand He's holy, you'll call out in repentance. Hallelujah. How many's glad He's a God of love? How many's glad He's holy, 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 holy? How many's glad He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee? But how many's glad? How many can lift your hands and say, I'm glad He's the Lord, Jehovah Makkah, the God who smites because He's holy and pure and righteous? Oh, I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's praise Him a moment. Hallelujah. God, we worship You. We want to know. We want to accept and embrace all that You're are. Hallelujah. Our nation sees God as a God of love, but they have failed to see Him as a God of both love and holy. I want to preach this morning, you can't have one without the other. You get rid of the God of judgment, and it will not be long till you'll get rid of the God of love. It's happened historically. They totally erased that part about God judging, and they preached and they taught God's a God of love, God's a God of love, and pretty soon, where's the God of love? He's gone too. We don't even believe in God anymore. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah, but keep Him a God who smites, and you'll keep Him a God who loves. Hallelujah. Glory to His name forever. Oh, I want to see that revival. No argument can change the fact that God has revealed. I didn't call Him that. Even Ezekiel didn't call Him that. He called Himself that. He said, I am Jehovah Makkah, the Lord who smites, the Lord who judges. The historical record is number one. God has smitten. It's historical record. I could turn to many places, talk about nations judged and people judged. And I don't know why this illustration came to me, but I'm only going to turn to where one individual was judged. And you might have only come across it in Sunday school, but in the book of Acts, I just want to read Acts chapter 12. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, he sat upon his throne, and he made a great oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord, hear me, he did what? The angel of the Lord, what? Smote him. And he, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died. Oh, we have a God of love. Amen. Here's a man that exalted himself against the knowledge of God, took credit for himself. Amen. Lifted himself up in arrogance of pride and sin. And God smote him. Amen. He is the God who has smitten him. I want to say, number two, He's a God not only who has smitten, He is a God that smites now. Amen. People may not believe it. People may want to interpret things the way they want to interpret it. Just like they give God no credit for the grandeur of the creation, they give God no credit for the judgment that comes either. People may deny it. They don't want to admit it. But I'm telling you, a lot of trouble folks are having, amen, is in fact God smiting them. I said, God smiting them. They'll attribute it to something else. They'll come up with another explanation. Amen. We're having trouble for this reason and that reason. We're having financial trouble in our nation for this reason and that reason. Amen. This won't go right and that won't go right for this reason and that reason. We're having Zika or another strain of plague for this reason or that reason. Amen. There comes a time, Christians, we just need to read our books and say, yes, it may be for that reason or that, but it just may be that the Lord is smiting us and judging us. Hallelujah. Not only has God smitten, nor does God smite now, but God will smite. Have you read recently from the book the awful things that's going to come across this planet Earth? How many believes those things? Things falling out of heaven, plagues and destruction and wars. I'm not a calamity hire, but I believe that truth is what corresponds to reality. And this isn't Brother Bill taking up the offering. He was right on last time. But did you know how close this world is to a complete financial destruction? That even the authorities are saying it's going to be so bad that 50% of the world will be out of work. That's not Jack Chick made up stuff. Some of you will have to look up Jack Chick. And we just want to attribute it to this and that. I want you to know, not only is God smiting, but God's going to smite this world like it's never seen. Oh, I know that don't sell well. I know what sells better is you can have your best life now, but that's lies. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to reach your potential. God wants you to live out your gifts. But God also wants us to know this is a fallen world, and God has forever judged sin, and He will yet judge sin. Don't leave right now. I said, don't leave out now depressed or mad or whatever, because I want to tell you something else. I'm going to say it brief, but I want to say it. Amen. I'm so excited about this. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You got your seatbelts on? I'm talking about God smiting. God smiting. The fist coming down. The hammer coming down. There's only one hope for those who will be smitten. How many knows what the one hope is for those who will be smitten? What's the one hope? The hope is the one who has already been smitten for them. Oh, hallelujah. I could turn to other places, but let me give you one verse from Isaiah. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. You don't have to be smitten of God in judgment. God has already smote His Son, brought judgment down upon every sin. Hallelujah. I tell you the hope of mankind. Amen. If you are fearful of being smitten, know this. Jesus has already been smitten for you. He's taken the blows of the fist. He's taken the literal blows of the hammer. I'm telling you, the answer to the judgment is the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, can you look to Him who was smitten for you? Why don't you just lift up your hand? Hallelujah! I said He's already taken your blows. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's the sermon in the name? Some blows are God's judgment upon sin. Sometimes that's direct. God intervenes in time and space. With His hand, He directly sends judgment on folks upon their sin. But I want you to know, to judge folks, God doesn't just have to do something. To judge folks, God just has to do nothing. You don't believe that? Can you imagine if God withdrew His hand from your life? There's a direct judgment of God. Those who turn from God, those who persist in the rebellious lives of sin, they're inviting God to smite them with judgment. Some blows are God's judgment directly. Some are indirect. I've preached this for years. It's the law of gravity. You break God's laws about marriage, God doesn't have to send a lightning bolt. It's built in to the nature of things. And you break God's laws about marriage and sexuality. And you say it's no big deal. Everybody commits fornication. I want to tell you, to judge you, God does not have to send a hammer blow from heaven. He just has to allow the consequences of violating His law to come into your life. If I was on the Empire State Building and I jumped off in defiance of God, or not defiance of God, it doesn't matter. If I jumped off, God doesn't have to say, you broke the law of gravity. I'm going to lower the hammer on you. See if you do that again. If you jump off the Empire State Building, God doesn't have to lower his fist on you. It's already built in what's going to happen. It's going to be destructive. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. People have mocked the law of God. People have mocked the ways of God, the commands of God. We'll change the definition of marriage. We'll say it's okay to do this and that. God never has to send a hammer blow. It's built in destruction and degradation and ruin. Are we seeing it? Some blows are God's judgment. I heard this last week and I wrote it down. I still didn't believe my ears. Listen to this, young people. This particularly refers to teenagers. But they did a recent survey, and only 32% of teenagers said that pornography was wrong. Only 32% of teenagers said pornography was wrong. Only 24% said that watching an X-rated movie is wrong. I want to tell you, God doesn't have to lower a hammer down from heaven and judge you when you do something like that. If you break those kind of laws of God, destruction to your relationship, your mind, your psyche, it's built into it. God has declared that relationships are only between a man and a woman in marriage. If you break that, you're not married and you have relationships, or you have relationships that's not between man and woman. God doesn't have to hurl his fist from heaven and strike you. It's already built into it. The blows will come. That's the hidden secret on all of this. They preach love. If you love folks, you tell them the truth about this. Because what they try to cover up is the irreparable destruction to people who break these laws of God. So sometimes God's blows are direct. I've got to move on to a conclusion. But did you know we lose two things, amongst others, but we lose two things when we quit believing in a God who smites? Number one, we lose a sense of gratitude. See, if I don't believe in a God of judgment, I have no gratitude really for being saved. What was I saved from? But since I know he's a God of judgment, I'm so thankful that when I stand in the judgment one day, I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ. I'm grateful this morning. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell. We lose our gratitude. We don't see God as a God of judgment. You say, oh, I'm just thankful for his love. Yeah, but what does he love us from? What does he love us in spite of if he's not a God of judgment? Let me show you what gratitude is, even though the word's not mentioned. Paul said, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Thank God. I have a sense of gratitude because I know he's a God of judgment, but he judged Jesus and loved me. Wow. Jesus suffered the judgment of my sin. And I am a recipient of God's love. You know, if there was never a God of judgment, listen to me. If there was never a God of judgment, there'd never been a cross. There'd never been spilt blood. What would you be thanking God for this morning? What would you thank God? There wouldn't be a communion service, but what would you thank God on communion service for? If there's never a God of judgment, Jesus would have never shed his blood. There'd never been a cross. Think about that. I want to say it again. It's so important. If God is not Jehovah Makeh, the God who smites, there'd never been a cross. What would you be grateful for this morning? But not only do we lose a sense of gratitude, we lose a sense of urgency for those who do not know Christ. If he's only a God of love, then pretty soon I'm believing that everybody's going to be saved. Regardless of how they live, Hitler will be saved. If all he is a God of love, child abusers will be saved. And so we lose an urgency, brother, because if he's just a God of love and he's not the Lord that smites, then Why bother about your wicked neighbor? Whether you don't have to worry about him going to hell. There's no God of judgment, so there's no hell. And so there's no urgency to tell people about Jesus. But when we realize he is Jehovah Makeh, the Lord that smites, we don't want to see our loved ones smitten. We don't want to see our neighbors smitten. We want to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, accept the fact that Jesus was smitten for them. It's knowing that he is Jehovah Makeh that encourages us to tell others about Jesus. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What's the terror of the Lord? Knowing the judgment of the Lord that's coming. Last of all, this morning, I want us to take home some blows are God's judgment, but some blows are God's disciplining his people, correcting his people. I'm not going to preach this. I'm just going to read it. Deal? But I want to tell you something. Sometimes we let these old words, we forget what they mean, but the word in the text is chastening. How many of you have ever got a spanking from your parent? Let me see. You were chastened. How many felt chastened rather than spanked? How many felt spanked? How many felt chastened? So the word is chastening, but it means disciplined, corrected. So can I read the text? Let's read. Would you just look on the board and think about this so I won't preach it? Some blows are God discipline. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My child, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure the chastening, the correcting, the discipline of God, God dealeth with you as with sons, with children. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards. In other words, you're illegitimate, and you're not children. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Should we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But why does he chasten us? Why does God's blows come against us in discipline? For what? Oh, I said I wouldn't preach. I'm sorry. For our profit. For our benefit. Let's read on. Look at verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. Would you endorse me one statement? How many remember when you got spankings? Did you ever say, this is fun? Anyone say, oh, this is fun? No chastening at the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereof. Now, I want to tell you, church, what I just read to you, if it was preached in many places today, it would cause most American Christians to swallow and choke on their religious gum, to believe that the troubles and difficulties in their life might be the Lord's blows against them to straighten them out and chasten them. How many believes that would be accepted in most places today? It's scriptural. It's Bible. It's love. And it's grace. You say, well, I just let my kid do what he wants to. I don't ever correct him. You don't love that child. Not a bit. God loves us. And this would cause people to swallow and choke on their religious gum. Because so often people want to say, well, I'm having a rough time because the devil's fighting me. The devil's coming against me. Things are going wrong in my life. Things are hard right now. The devil, we blame everything on the devil. Make no mistake, sometimes it is Satan that comes against us. But have you ever considered it may not be the attack of Satan? It may be the chastening of the Lord. Amen. If that sounds like a false gospel, read the book. It's all through the book. That's not ugly. That's grace. I said that's grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he cares enough to chasten us? And I want to say this. I can't open a message on this, but let me say this. It's a bad parent that would spank a child for something the child didn't know what he was receiving the spanking for. If you're a good parent, that child knows. what you're disciplining them for. Here's the difference. Is it Satan or is it God? If it's God, he's letting you know. He's talking to your heart. He's saying you shouldn't be doing that. He's saying, I love you too much to let this by. If it's God, he's saying, I'm trying to help you here. If it's God, he's saying, I'm loving you. Didn't your parent, you say, you didn't believe it, but didn't your parent, you say, I'm spanking you because I love you. Right? Right. How many believes this morning, would you come music? How many believes he's also Jehovah Makkah? How many's glad he was smitten for us? Hallelujah. Well, I finished the book, but let me share you one more illustration. It was the greatest victory ever for the South at Chancellorsville. Once again, Stonewall Jackson was unbelievably spectacular in his maneuvers. Outnumbered so many to one, he flanked them once again, destroyed the 11th Corps of the Union. Day ended. He wanted to press forward and destroy the rest of the army, but darkness drew on. The line settled down. The Union soldiers are trying to cut down trees to make some kind of speed bump to slow Jackson down. And Jackson with several of his men, followed by one of his main generals with several of his men, they went out between the lines for reconnaissance, to look over the terrain, to how they were going to attack in the morning. Just to give you a few details, through an accident, different skirmishers firing upon one another from both sides, his own men, Confederates of North Carolina, let loose a volley and downed Jackson, hit him in his right arm, 2 bullets in the left arm. He's in excruciating pain. His arm bones are shattered. They put him on a gurney, begin to carry him off, but the shrapnel in the shell became so strong that the men carrying the gurneys dropped the gurneys and dove for cover. Just, I told you that story to tell you this. That other general, subordinate to Jackson, A.P. Hill. Jackson, A.P. Hill had been feuding very uglily about a military matter. Jackson had even made charges, court-martial charges, against A.P. Hill. But Jackson was laying there defenseless, couldn't even roll over in pain. A.P. Hill, he was wounded himself, and the general he was feuding with, A.P. Hill rolled his body on top of Jackson, so if any bullet, shell, or shrapnel came, it would hit his body instead of Jackson. You may not realize it, but you were feuding. Enmity between you and God. Ugly things headed your way in judgment, the smiting of the Lord. But on that cross, he rolled his body across our soul. And he took the shell and the shrapnel for us. Hallelujah. So don't tell me I'm wrong when I preach he's the God that smites. Because I'm also preaching he's the God that smote his son so I don't have to be smitten. Could you stand and thank him across the building? Would you praise him? Would you worship him? Come on, let's worship him. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Are you here? Would you say, I see it. I see it that the way I've lived my life, and this is true to all of us, but the way I've lived my life, the things I've done, the things I've thought, I deserve the smiting, the striking of God. I deserve the judgment. But oh, I've heard that message this morning that Jesus took the smiting, the striking for me. I need Jesus this morning. I need forgiveness. I want to repent of my sins this morning. I want to be saved for now and all eternity from the judgments of God by His grace. If that's you this morning, you say, I need God this morning. Would you come down this aisle and to these steps we use as an altar and say, God, I need you. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your love. Are you here this morning? You need God. Don't hesitate. God's speaking to you. God's talking to your heart. I want to tell you again, there is a smiting. The fist is coming down, so to speak. But Jesus has taken the blow for you if you'll only accept Christ. Are you here this morning? You need Jesus. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Oh, hallelujah. You need Jesus. Don't hesitate. Only He can save us. There's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I preach the judgment, but I'm preaching there is a mercy seat. There is safety. There's a way. Amen. You won't ever experience that wrath of God. Are you here this morning? You need Jesus. Church, are you praying? Church, are you praying? Amen. You need Jesus. Maybe you're a young person and maybe you've been to church many, many times, but it just got you this morning. You got it. You understand. I need Jesus to take the blows for me. I need Jesus to take the striking for me. I need Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That altar appeal is still open. But church, if you just want to come and thank Him, thank Jesus that He took the blows on your behalf, would you come this morning? Would you do it? Hallelujah. You need Jesus. You don't have to leave here without Him. Come as the church is coming. Just slip in amongst them. Somebody will be here to pray with you. Jehovah Makeh, the Lord that smites. The Lord that smites. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for grace? The reason you're so glad is you know He's also Jehovah Makeh, the Lord that smites. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we honor You. Hallelujah. Oh, Your grace leads me to repentance.
Hallelujah. Your goodness.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank Him, church. He's taken the blows for us. He's taken the blows for us.
Calls me to be like
Lord,
You.
Lord, we praise You. Lord, we praise You.
Your favor,
Lord,
is
hallelujah.
My
well, don't you let Him take the blows for you this morning? Hallelujah.
Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And Your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good.
Oh, You're good. You're good, Lord. Thank Him, church. Thank Him, church.
Leads
hallelujah.
Me to repentance.
Hallelujah.
Your goodness draws me to Your side. Your mercy calls me to be like You. Your favor is my delight. I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And Your mercy is forever. Is my delight. Your mercy is forever.